neither he that loveth not his brother.
Turn with me to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. John had beheld the tree of life, the vine himself, in whom all of God's sheep have been grafted by the mercy and grace of God. This tree, Christ the tree, in him life is found. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." That is, exceeding in measure, abundantly. Now, I want us to consider in verse 3. I've looked at this verse, and I'd like to just deal with a portion of it. The main part that I want to deal with is found in the first line, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it." Everything in that day. Now, you know, you're looking at this point. You're looking at New Jerusalem. You're looking at the heavenly Jerusalem. You're looking at the church, who is the city of God. The church, the bride, is the city. The Scripture says, there'll be no more curse, no more accursed thing. Everything that is contrasted to God's glory and God's honor and God's mercy and God's compassion, everything that is contrasted to God's honor now shall be gone then. And there shall be no more curse. Now, we were just looking in Genesis, and I want us to go back. It's here we are. This is the last book, the last chapter of the last book. And to find out what God has put away, we go back to the very beginning. To find out the meaning, what will then be absent, that is, the curse. We need to go back to the pronouncement of that curse. Now turn back to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. I tell you, if God ever shows a man what happened in the garden, the redemption by the blood of Christ becomes a precious thing. The pronouncement. Before I read, and I'm going to read Genesis 3, verses 13 to 19, but the pronouncement of a curse by the Lord God Himself is for one reason: disobedience. I told you before, when my kids were growing up, this was the rule. For a mistake, you will not get punished, or you won't get a spanking. I told them last week that y'all never had time out. Time out was in a bedroom, and Dad was getting ready to take care of it. They had time out, but it didn't take but about 45 seconds. Time out was over. And after I took my belt off and spanked them, I'd hold them, love them, tell them why I had to do that. That's a scriptural way. If you want to know how to discipline children, you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. Don't be taken back, say, "Well, the blueness of their wounds, I don't want to do that." Let me tell you something. The biblical way, of disciplining children. It's punishment. And I'll deal with that later. But anyway. Disobedience. Never for a mistake did I spank my children, but for disobedience. Always. Well, sometimes I set them off more than I should have. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13 says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now, that's what happened when Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit, when they disobeyed God. Now, I want you to notice something, and in just a moment, I'm going to tell you what exactly a curse is. But for this moment, there were two curses pronounced in that passage that I just read. Two curses. Number one, there was a curse upon the serpent. Scripture says, verse 14, God said to the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. The second curse was pronounced in verse 17. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee not, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now I will ask you this. Are there any other curses pronounced in that passage of Scripture? No. But what about Adam and Eve? Wasn't a curse pronounced upon Adam and Eve? No. God's objects of mercy. Now, I will say this before I go any farther. Are there any human beings under the curse of God? Yes. Yes. But my question at this point is, was Adam and Eve, those two people, were they cursed by God? No. God has never cursed the objects of His mercy. And I'm going to show you something that to you that believe, this has got to be one of the most amazing passages of Scripture that you'll ever read. I'm going to deal with the verse of Scripture that says, He hath delivered us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. I'll deal with that Scripture in just a minute, but I'm going to show you something. To you that believe, this is absolutely amazing. You're talking about amazing grace. The question is, has God ever cursed the objects? Adam and Eve, in this passage of Scripture, set forth as objects of God's mercy. Has God ever cursed His people? Or has His people ever been under the curse of God, of which I'll tell you what a curse is in a second? Has God's people ever been under His curse? Turn with me to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 22. Numbers 22 and verse 12. Numbers 22, verse 12. Balak, an evil man, tried to hire a guy named Balaam to curse the people of God. Numbers 22, 12. And God said unto Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they're blessed." Turn to Numbers 23. Just turn over a page. Numbers 23, verse 8 through verse 12. Here's Balaam speaking. He says, "How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? For from the tops of the rocks I see Him, and from the hills I behold Him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned," or that is, not be regarded among the nations. "Who can count the dust of Jacob, and of the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." And Balak said unto Balaam, "What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether." And he answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth?" God Almighty had said through this man, Balaam, the people in verse 9 shall dwell alone. What does that mean? Turn over Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the next one over. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 28. 33:28. Deuteronomy 33, verse 28. It had just said, well, I just read it. It says, "The people shall dwell alone." What does that mean? Deuteronomy 33:28 gives us the answer to that statement. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Right there in that same book, Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy 23 verse 5. Now this is very important, because I want to show you something about God's character. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 5. Balak had told Balaam, "Curse him. Curse those people. Put a curse on them." Deuteronomy 23, 5. "Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee." How, Balaam said, how can I curse those that God's blessed? How can I pronounce a curse on somebody that God has not cursed? If Almighty God has ever pronounced a curse, and we're getting to the explanation in just a minute. If God has ever pronounced a curse, that curse is going to stand. If God has ever purposed to show mercy, that mercy is going to stand. How do I know that? Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel," that is the plan, the prudence, and the advice. The counsel. "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever." That is, it abides and it continues. "The thoughts of His heart to all generation." If God has ever purposed to do anything, does it ever change? No. How do you know that? He said, I change not. I never change. I never change. God has never changed in one thing. God has never changed in a thought, in a purpose, in an action. God never changes. Never. God cursed. He cursed the serpent because he beguiled Eve. Because thou hast done this. Eve says, the serpent beguiled me. God said, because you did that, you're cursed. The serpent drew her in by deception to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God cursed the serpent. God cursed the ground, the earth. Why? For Adam's sake, he said, because of what you've done, because of your action, or on account of you, because of sin, the earth is cursed. See, everything which was created by Almighty God for Adam's pleasure and comfort was now going to be his place of toil. Thorns, thistles, famines, earthquakes, pestilences, hurricanes. Somebody said, well, there's a big hole in the ozone layer. You know, that's God. Well, that may be the second cause. First cause is God. He does all things after the counsel of his own will. He never changed. Why is this earth going through all of this stuff? Because of sin. Because God has placed a curse. And God has cursed all mankind whose names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are under the curse of God. Turn over to Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation 20:11. We dealt with this a month or so ago on the great white throne judgment. John says, Revelation 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That is, no place to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But the question is, and I've brought this up before, but I want you to say it again. When was that book written? When was the book of life written? Just turn back to 17:8, Revelation 17:8. Revelation 17:8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall descend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. All mankind outside of those who were the objects of God's mercy are under the curse of God. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4, verse 9. Let me show you a man born just like every other man. Conceived in sin. Came forth from his mother's womb speaking lies. Name was Cain. Genesis 4:9, and the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth? Brother Scott says, when's now? Now's now. Has now ever changed with God? No. God's the eternal God. He said, I'm the I am. If it's right now, let me tell you what it's always been to God. Right now. It's always been right now to God. He said, I don't change. I am that I am. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Turn over to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here is the point. God has either blessed or cursed every man from the foundation of the world. God Almighty, considering them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, how God considers every man. He considers every man in one of two ways. He's either chosen to show mercy and grace and compassion, or he has created that man under the curse. You'd say, now wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Buddy, you bumped the line now. You have really gone over the edge now. Before I read this scripture in Romans chapter 9, I want to tell you what the curse is. What is the curse? You're cursed. To be cursed by Almighty God is to be found in a place or a state where God Himself has not provided for redemption. Where Almighty God, that is what it is to be under the curse of Almighty God. No pardon, no mercy, no grace, no forgiveness. Would God do that? Would God actually make one person to be an object of mercy and make another one to be an object of His curse? Would God do that? Well, let's just go to the Word of God. Let's just ask God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And let's just see, here again, what does God have to say? I know many have said for a long time, I tell you, those people down at Katy Baptist Church, you know, they've got that, I mean, that old stuff, man, they are just, you know, they don't have any love and compassion and all. You know why people are so mad? It's because you've been truthful with them, Brother Scott. You've been truthful. My question is this. Number one, if we didn't preach this, would it change the Word of God? Just say, I'm just not going to preach that. I'm just not. Did it change? Did it change the Word of God? No. I'm telling you, this is the way God is. This is the way God said that He is. Is He a God of love? Yes. God is a God of love. But Almighty God is a God that is just, and His love is never shown at the expense of His justice. God Almighty shows compassion and mercy to whomsoever He will, and whomsoever He will. Romans chapter 9, verse 15. For He saith to Moses, Romans 9:15. You want to see this. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will he hardeneth. Now I'm going to read some more, but I want to tell you what that word hardeneth means. As I've said before, get a concordance and look it up and see what this word means. Hardeneth means to render stubborn. To render stubborn or to make dry. The Scripture says, therefore hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy, and on whom He will, God makes stubborn. God leaves a man to himself. Thou, verse 19, will say then unto me, well, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Somebody would say, well, if it's God that does everything, then I mean, how am I going to do anything about it? And they're saying that out of arrogance. Instead of just crying out to Almighty God, God have mercy on me. Paul says, verse 20, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Let me tell you what the problem is. There are men that are standing in pulpits today that are doing nothing more than just mealy-mouthing around and trying to preach this little impotent God who is no God whatsoever, trying to make God as they say God is, trying to do something, trying to save somebody if they just let Him. And I'm telling you that the God of this Bible is God Almighty that says, I will have mercy on whoever I have mercy on. I'll have compassion on whomsoever I'll have compassion. And whomsoever I will, I'll make you stubborn. Now, that's the God of this Bible. And men stand up and they say, I'm not going to have that God to rule over me. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will, too. Yes, you will. You stand up and raise your face and raise your finger and say, I am not going to hear that. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Can't God do that? What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted? Now, if you've got a Bible, and if your Bible in the word fitted there, if it's interpreted for you in the middle part there, it says made up. What if God, willing to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath made up to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory? My question is this: does God have the right to do whatever He wants to do? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Who do we think we are? We act as if this is no big deal. I'm telling you, men and women alone act as though this is no big deal. I'll just take it or leave it. It's no big deal to me whether I hear the Word of God. It's no big deal whether I serve Him. It's no big deal whether I worship Him. Well, one of these days, it's going to be a big deal. It'll be a big deal then. I tell you, these men that are standing up and preaching this little impotent nobody, he's no God at all. God that is not God is no God at all. I rebuke him. This God that's trying to make somebody, you know, if you'll just willingly give, you know, come down. I'm telling you, this God is God. The Scripture says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, the lawgiver, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the tree, on Calvary, and Christ was made a curse. He was made a curse. There was no getting out of it for Him. To be under the curse of God is no redemption, no out. He was cursed. But you know who he was cursed for? All that Almighty God had ever set his affection on. Either God's going to curse a man in himself, or he's going to curse him in Christ. Every one that hangs on a tree is cursed. You that believe, you were there with him. Everyone that hangs on a tree, everyone that hangs on a tree. He hung on the tree. He sure did. And if he's one of yours, if you're one of his, you were there with him. Under the wrath of Almighty God in a substitute. Our judgment was found in him. All of God's elect were judged by God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as to Adam and Eve, the serpent was cursed and the earth was cursed. But what happened to Adam and Eve? What do we find for them? I'll tell you what they found. They found mercy. Mercy. Did they deserve God's wrath? Absolutely. If they didn't deserve God's wrath, then mercy is not mercy. Mercy is God not giving a man what he deserved. You never make light of the penalty of the seriousness of sin. Christ was made sin. But never forget the indescribable mercy and compassion of God toward all that He's purposed to redeem. I don't doubt that one second when Satan heard the curse that was placed upon him, he figured, I'm sure, the next thing that's going to come out of God's mouth is God's going to curse Eve and going to curse Adam. That's not what happened. What happened? Back in Genesis 3, the Lord said unto the serpent, in verse 14, thou art cursed. And the Scripture says in verse 15, he said to the woman, I will put enmity. He said to the serpent, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be toward thy husband. He'll rule over thee. Now this is what God said to the woman. He just told the serpent, he said, I've cursed you. And no redemption for you. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to redeem Satan or angels. He came into this world to redeem sinners, elect sinners, chosen sinners. This is what God said to Eve. He said, I'm going to put enmity between the serpent and your seed. This is what God Almighty said. Paul says in Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in himself. God's curse upon the serpent, I'll tell you what it did. It ushered in the indescribable blessing and mercy upon God's elect. Mercy. Mercy. God told the woman, I'm going to greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Now, ladies, the reason that I cannot speak of the pains of childbirth is because I've never had a child. I heard someone say if a man had a child, it'd only be one. I know. I don't know by experience, but I know somewhat. You ladies that have had children, that bearing children is a painful experience. I understand that. I understand it as much as I can understand it. You probably shed a lot of light on that. I know that. But listen, and I am not making light of childbirth because I know that it is a painful experience. But if all that God was saying to Eve right here was this, because you ate, you're going to have some discomfort in having children, then that was not a real bad thing. I'm not making light of it, but if that's all that happened right here, So the question is this. What did God actually say to Eve? God had just cursed the serpent. There's no redemption for you. You'll be found in the lake of fire. What did He actually say to Eve? Because of what she had done, what was God going to do? He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in conception. What was her sorrow? Now this is very interesting. Look at this scripture, Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Now just look at that first word. I will greatly multiply your hurt, your worrisomeness, and your pain, is what that word sorrow means. What sorrow had to be overcome for her conception? Her sorrow. And what was going to have to happen for her to bring forth spiritually healthy children that was going to be marred now by sin? What God is to Eve here is a picture of the church, the bride of Christ, the mother of us all. Eve is being spoken to by God. God cursed the serpent, and He told Eve, He said, I'm going to greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. What had happened? Well, she was separated from God. Remember, Eve here is a picture of the church. She is now separated. Her iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He won't hear you in your state. He says, I'm going to greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. If she's going to bring forth, if God is going to bring forth healthy children, His people, out of His bride, out of the church, as Paul says, the mother of us all, what's going to have to happen? He said, I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. Her sorrow was her pain, her hurt, her worrisomeness. That's what sorrow means, first sorrow. It actually was multiplied, but it was multiplied in another. She had a problem. She was going to have to bring forth in sorrow conception. Psalm 116:3 says of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, He says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. Gat hold means found me. The pains of death found me. And He says, I found trouble and sorrow. Psalms 116:3. I found it. It found me and I found it. The Lord told the woman, He said, I'm going to greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Psalm 18:4 and 5. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed about me. The snares of death prevented me or met me. He made her sins be His sins. Her sorrows was His sorrows. Her problem was His problem. She got a problem. The Lord said, I'll make it mine. That's my problem. Her problem, her sorrow was greatly multiplied in another for her to bring forth. And then it says, in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Now here again, I just, you can take my word for it if you want to. Or you can get a concordance and look this up. See the word, first word, sorrow? Unto the woman said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth. That's two different words. They're not the same word. The second sorrow is different from the first sorrow. First sorrow is worrisomeness, hurt, and pain. The second sorrow means an earthen vessel. An earthen vessel. He says, in sorrow, or in an earthen vessel, the Word made flesh He came into this world, a man, made flesh, made flesh. And the Word was made, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. How's God going to bring forth children? Out of His church, out of His bride. How's He going to? Well, He's going to greatly multiply our sorrow, but Christ's going to bear it. And in sorrow, in an earthen vessel, thou shalt bring forth children. An earthen vessel in the person of the man, Christ Jesus, the church shall bring forth through Him, by Him, all of God's people. And the Scripture says of God speaking to Eve, "And thy desire shall be to thy husband." That's not hard to figure out, is it? Your desire. Now, you talk about a blessing. You think God had just cursed Satan. And He cursed the earth. This is what He said to Eve. This is what He actually said to her. "Unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in another." "You're wrong," He told her. "You're wrong. You rebelled against Me. But I provided a substitute for you. I provided redemption for you. I blessed you. I cursed the serpent. I cursed the earth. But I blessed you. In an earthen vessel, thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire, your hunger, your thirsting for righteousness is going to be to your husband. Your longing shall be toward Him in whom I've chosen you. The one who is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And He shall rule over thee." What a blessing. "I'm going to make you to bow. I'm going to give you a heart to bow to Him. He's going to rule over you in love, in mercy, and in compassion. You're going to bring forth children." Well, I'm going to stop right there. Got about 3 more pages of notes. That's okay. We'll just pick up right there. The question, what is it to be under the curse of God? For God not to provide redemption. Does God have the right to do that? Yes, He does. Have God's people ever been under His curse? Never. God Almighty has always looked upon them in mercy. God has the right to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor. Next time, Lord willing, we'll pick up in what God said to Adam. And then I want to deal with the curse of the earth. What happened? And the anticipation of what the earth looks forward to. I'm going to show you some scripture where the earth is anxiously awaiting the redemption and the manifestation of the people of God. The earth itself was cursed, but the Scripture says not without hope. Amazing passage of Scripture. More than I deal with in this verse. I hope that was a help to you. Our Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You for the peace that You give us to know that, Lord, You've not left us to ourselves. God, we ask Your mercy and blessing upon the Word of God. We know that You promise that this Word is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Lord, I thank You for the calling out of Your people. I don't know who Your people are, but I know that the preaching of Christ and redemption by His blood, justification freely by grace, is the message by which You're going to call out Your people. Bless our hearts to the understanding of Your truth. for Christ's sake. Amen.